This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, the college basketball season is over, and Michigan found a way. Pretty interesting game. I don't know. There was so much going on last night, Mike. Rockies went two in a row. They didn't do that until the end of April, start of May last year. TJ Rumfield, the real deal. Some guys on this team, man. I'm getting excited about the Nuggets down 18 to Portland at one point. Somehow, some way, find a way to come back. And they moved up a spot. They got the third seed right now. It's theirs to lose, I believe. Lakers play OKC tonight. Man, a lot to get to. David Adelman had some thoughts on his old boss becoming the new boss at the other UNC. We're going to get to all of it, Mike. Hope you're ready. Hope you're buckled in. Put your seatbelt on, hooligans. The whole show starts now. This is the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Glad you guys could be with us here today. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. If you want to shoot us a text, you can on our First Advantage text line. That's 888-530-0043. There was a lot going on a Monday night. A lot happening. We had the national championship game, which you heard right here on KFKA. We had the Rockies, their lowest attendance ever last night, but they got a win. So that's exciting. Also, the Nuggets, it took another overtime, but the streak continues now. What are they at? 10? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in a row? I would have looked like a genius with my pick of the stretch of wins they were going to have, but that Memphis game that was rescheduled and put in there totally threw it off. Other than that, the Nuggets have been perfect.
You should say you're welcome, planet Earth.
Well, yeah, the Nuggets have gone on a heck of a run here. Three games remaining. They got Memphis tomorrow night, then Oklahoma City on Friday, and the final game of the season will be at San Antonio on Sunday. And I don't really know how we're going to be playing this one, these next three, how the Nuggets are going to be playing these next three, I should say. I think you want the third seed. And then you get news, you know, Wimby goes out in their game last night, their win over Philadelphia. They win 115-102. He goes out with a left rib contusion, but I don't know if that's very serious or anything like that. But I still like the Nuggets against the Spurs in a potential second round. Again, you gotta get through the first round before we can really start worrying about the second round. But that was another amazing showing by the best player in the NBA. Joker had 35 points in this one, 14 rebounds, 13 assists. Yeah, he turned it over a little bit more in this one. 6 turnovers for Joker, but also 5 steals, had a couple of blocks. You're starting to see other guys, man. Aaron Gordon, 23 points for him. 23 points. He was 4 of 9 from the three-point line. Some critical corner threes. One of them was called a 2, but to force overtime, to make this comeback, it was, I mean, I was concerned, certainly concerned, that this team was not going to find a way to beat Portland, and that gift that they were given by the Lakers with so many guys going down at this stage, I thought they were just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash. But they found a way, got the win, big deal. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to FMSBank.com/KFKA. Okay. The good for me was, it's got to be, I'm not going to go with the obvious here and say it was Joker's big night. I'm going to say Cam Johnson. There's a lot of talk about Cam Johnson and whether or not he's even going to be a Nugget next season. Because there's talk of him being moved so they can make room for Peyton Watson. He has 17 points, but some of the shots he was making are just very timely. And he's been doing that quite a bit in this stretch for Denver. I don't know. He might be one of those guys that's like a dark horse in the NBA playoffs that could be the difference for the Nuggets as far as winning an NBA championship. So Cam Johnson, I'm going to give him the shout out today. 37 minutes for him, 17 points. He was 4 of 5 from the free throw line, but also had 7 assists and 6 boards, doing a lot of work in that win over Portland last night. The bad for me was the fact that it took an 18-point comeback to take down the Portland Trailblazers. And Portland's fine. You know, they're a 500 team. They're going to be in the playoffs or play-in or whatever, but that's a game at home you expect Denver to handle, but I'm still at this point in the regular season where I just don't know what to expect from Denver on a nightly basis. I think once we get to the playoffs, that's going to tell us the real story about this team, obviously, and what they're made of. Let's just get to it, man. 3 more of these bad boys. It's taking forever. The ugly for me, I got some news, Mike, and it's not good. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, but UNC's top 6 scorers from this past season are Gonzo. We already knew Brock Wisney had graduated. Quinn Danker graduated. Zach Block graduated. They're gone. We knew that Yamazaki was going to go play pro over in Japan, so he's gone. We did not know that Ring Neary was going to be gone. Ring Neary has entered the transfer portal, as well as Egan Shields. Both players were expected to be big-time contributors this upcoming season for the UNC Bears. 6 of their top scorers are gone. It sure looks like the Bears are starting from scratch. Yes, Michael?
Are they in the transfer portal, or have they been picked up?
They've entered the transfer portal.
So you're telling me there's a change?
Nah, I don't think so. Now, I don't have, like, factual numbers I can give you, Mike, but let me just tell you that the money is something that the Bears can't match. This is Egan Shields, who was a backup center to Brock Wisney. Now, he started several games, or he played several games back and forth with Brock, but Ring Neary was a starter for this team, and he went to the bench a few times this year. But these are great players for the Bears. These guys are going to get paid to go add some depth somewhere. I'm curious to see where they end up going, but that's my ugly news of the day for the Bears, and another victim of the NIL/transfer portal society that we live in college sports.
Well, I mean, guys, you have to keep in mind, like, you can be more likely to start here with UNC in the Big Sky Conference. You could go to another Big Sky school, as one of the Bears did last year, or you can try to go to a Tennessee and probably be a backup there. But as we have seen, that has worked out for some former UNC Bears.
Well, I don't know there's any Dalton connects on this team for the Bears. I mean, Quinn Danker, if he would have had another year of eligibility, would he have transferred? Could he have gone somewhere and played? Yes, but it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate because that's and again, this is what we were talking about yesterday with that executive order and all the concerns of what that looks like in the future. This is who it hurts, and I don't know, like, the players that are leaving, like Ring Neary and Egan Shields, were both supposed to be projected as the guys for the Bears, like the top 2 dudes trying to take over this team that's going to be losing so many of their guys. And now they're going to go somewhere and battle for positions, you know, and it just depends on where they're going to go, I guess. But man, I saw it on Twitter yesterday. And I reached out to Coach Smiley and I said, man, is all that true? And he said, yeah, and Egan too. So he did. He said, now it's public. So that information is out there. Egan Shields and Ring Neary both entering the transfer portal for the UNC Bears. Former UNC Bears.
Well, this transfer portal thing has been going on for a few years. And Coach Smiley has been able to bring in some people from the transfer portal to help him out. So it looks a little, but
Yeah.
This has happened. Look,
yeah, but the six, Tennessee Mike.
I think it's the Tennessee men or the Tennessee women have no player.
I know.
Like,
that's
no
what Mark
players.
Was telling us yesterday.
Yeah. UNC still has some players, and guess what? Smiley has dealt with stuff like this before and has been great before, so I'm not too worried.
He hasn't had to deal with this. He hasn't had to deal with this. His top six scorers are gone. I mean, guys graduate. Guys move on. That's how it goes, but we haven't seen anything quite like this.
I'm not too terribly worried.
It's a concern, but it's part of it. It's not like, what's going on with Smiley over there? No, it's not really that. It's
going on with the money they don't have over there.
Right. And that continues to be a pretty significant issue. And it will continue to be a pretty significant issue. And it will plague teams like the UNC Bears, like the CSU Rams. I mean, they lost Brandon Recksteiner, who reportedly is going to go for some more money somewhere else, too. So it is what it is, man. It's frustrating, for sure, but I guess, you know, Smiley's been pretty damn good. But this one feels a little bit different than we've witnessed in the past as far as having to deal and recover and start from scratch with this roster. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Joker continued to add to his MVP push. I think it's going to be all for naught, but there is a lot of talk surrounding him. There's a lot more talk surrounding Joker today and yesterday than we were witnessing over, you know, basically the entirety of the season. Watching ESPN this morning, their Get Up show, it's as if their eyes were opened again for the first time. It just amazes me that Joker can do these things. His numbers are better this year than his last MVP campaign. Yet that's largely ignored until you see him do it against Wimby. Wimby, who is arguably one of the best defensive players in the league, it took 40 points against Wimby for the national story to start hitting surrounding Nikola Jokic. But I'm ready for the playoffs to start, Mike. I'm ready to just get this thing going. Nice night for Jamal Murray. Excuse me. There was just critical shot making last night in this game. Not a lot of defense, Mike. Not a lot. You know, 137 to 132, and you go. It's an overtime game, but Denver outscores Portland 12-7 in the overtime period. How is this one going to unfold? What do the NBA standings look like right now? Denver sits in third place. They are half a game ahead of the Lakers. If the Lakers do win tonight, they move right back over the Nuggets because they have the tiebreaker. I still think that you want the third seed. Now, you would be playing against Minnesota in the first round. That's worrisome, but I think they match up better with Houston than they do Minnesota. But I'm looking at that second round. I'm probably putting the cart before the horse, Mike. But what was tough for Denver last year was running into OKC in that second round. I don't know if it would have been any different. Probably not if it was the Western Conference Finals. Because Denver, they were just so beat up in that game, in that series, that I don't know. Could they have lasted? Could Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., could they have lasted another series? And I'm not so sure about that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Did you watch any of the national championship game last night? I mean, excuse me. I got the coughs, Mike. I got the coughs.
I had the opportunity to watch it on HBO Max, but at least I think I could have watched it. If it was on CBS, I could have watched it on Paramount Plus. But I decided I wanted better commentators, and I watched it. I listened to it on our station.
I didn't find it that interesting. I maybe it's because the Nuggets were down and I was a little irritated by that, or the Rockies had a sensational, what was it, a fifth inning where they just went off, that my attention just went elsewhere. I'm telling you, for as great as March Madness is, every round that goes on, I think it dilutes it. It dilutes it a little bit. It just gets a little bit less appealing unless you have a real dog in the fight. And I'm back and forth on Hurley with UConn. I don't really care about Michigan, although saw a mock draft today, and their big man, Ade Mara, who's pretty damn good, kind of struggled at times in that game, but I saw a mock draft that he could fall to the Nuggets late in the first round, which would be interesting because he's a passing center.
I mean, Michigan did kind of struggle throughout the game. They essentially got outplayed at certain points. Like, if you look at the stats, they got outplayed.
Yeah.
But their defense was phenomenal. That's why they won, their defense. Look, I did have a dog in the fight. They're a big Pac-10 team, and my Huskies are in that conference.
Yeah.
And my Huskies are always on the bottom of that conference because they don't play basketball.
Did you say Pac-10?
Well, I call them the Pac-10 because four Pac-12 teams moved there.
Hey, does college sports belong to the Big Ten now?
I think it's cyclical. I think it will be in the big Pac-10 for now, and then the SEC will come back, and then the ACC will come back. They'll figure it out. Next few years will be the Big Pac.
I mean, it feels like the Big Ten, man. You know, they get the football championship. NCAA championship. It's all good. Lonster's on the First Advantage Hotline. What's up, Lonster?
Hey, Brady. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right. It was a nice night. It was a nice Monday night for our local teams.
You know what? It was a fun night for sure. I was kind of going back and forth between the games last night.
What caught your attention the most last night?
You know what? I'm going to say the Nuggets and the Rockies winning, and I did listen to the whole national championship.
There you go. I mean, it was a jam-packed Monday night. It's a great time of year for sports fans.
It was. So I was pretty happy with all three games. I really was. Yeah. Even though it was a little sloppy for UConn and Michigan, it was just fun to listen to, and it was just fun to see Michigan go out there and win the thing.
Yeah. I mean, I go back and forth with Hurley and UConn. I mean, his antics are a little weird sometimes, but
yeah,
he's also entertaining. He's entertaining.
Yeah, he is, but sometimes he does drive a person up the wall. Like
a little bit. Just everything he does. Everything about him. Everything about his look, the way he kind of his mannerisms. But then there's a part of me that's like, I tune in when I know he's playing, you know, or when he's coaching. You know, it makes it a little more interesting for me.
It is, but it was neat just to see Michigan go out there and just knock him off a little bit.
Yeah.
Because some of the remarks that he made yesterday, I will not buy into that stuff.
Yeah. Lonster, what's for lunch today, man?
You know what? I have no idea what we're having for lunch.
Oh, really? Just no clue? Not even a hint?
No clue.
Cherry tomatoes?
You got to have cherry tomatoes, Lonster.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, too. Oh, you know what? There is an egg salad sandwich in there waiting for me in the refrigerator.
I like egg salad, and I like egg salad sandwiches, so that's not a bad choice there.
This one was made out of double eggs.
No, that sounds,
oh, there you go.
That sounds even better.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. All right, Lonster, appreciate the call, man.
Hey, for sure. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
He likes roasting you, man.
Nothing wrong with that. Lonnie can roast away. Lonnie's a good person.
Well, okay. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. How about that, Mike? We're down to 26 games. 26 games until Tanner Schwint and I can shave our face and cut our hair. Took him a while to get to this point last year, man.
I'm still keeping July 8th. I'm still going to stay pessimistic, but hopefully it'll be in May or June.
Well, I said, you know, where are the runs going to come from the Rockies? Well, bottom of the fifth, they just decided to go off, man. I mean, Julian singled to right to start things off. The Rockies are down. Well, actually, no, they're down 3-0 in this game, and you just started getting hits. Castro singled to left. Doyle got walked. McCarthy hit a sacrifice bunt to third, allowing Doyle to second and Castro to third. And then the run started when you got Julian singled. Julian singled to right.
Julian Fries.
Julian, yeah, no. Can I finish my thought? Singled to right. Castro scored, and then Doyle scored. Johnston, I'm loving this dude. Now, did you see the play in question here for Johnston? I mean, I think that was the inning, right, where he hits it out. Right over to second base, and it hits the base, and it just popped up. and allowed for just absolute chaos to ensue. Troy Johnston does the whole, you know, the documentary thing, Michael Jordan's security guard or whatever, when they're playing that coin game. And he just looks at the camera, he looks over at the dugout, and he just, you know, shrugs his shoulders like, I don't know. You know, we got it. We made it. We somehow. Sometimes that happens, man. It's awesome when it does. But Troy Johnston, he is a great. I heard Tanner and Brian talking about him this morning. He's one of those dudes to get excited about. He's a great representation of what the Rockies are up to. So the Rockies get a win. They're now at four wins. You know, just looking at when they got four wins last year, it took them a while to get to that four-win mark last year, Mike. I mean, it was, you remember how bad it was under Bud Black to start the season. I mean, it was miserable. You go back to 2025, they didn't get their fourth win until April 20th. It's April 7th. They didn't get their fourth win until April 20th. They had lost 17 games before they got to their fourth win. And right now, they're 4-6. You got to be happy about it, man. Let's see. Texter from John Fort Troika. OKC, 16.5-point favorite in La La Land tonight. Well, OKC's still playing. They're still playing for something, right? I think they can lock down the number one seed with a win tonight. Nuggets big three better be ready for the Grizzlies deluge of trays mañana. John, you throw me off, man. I think that's your goal with this text line. Hit 29 last night and still lost. Yeah, didn't they break a record? Didn't Memphis break a record for most threes and they still lost the game? Yeah, they're going to be shooting threes. And seems like teams like to hit threes against the Nuggets. So that's a dangerous combination. 27 minutes after the hour. Michael, we'll take a short break here. Coming up next, David Adelman had some things to say about his old boss taking over the head coaching job for North Carolina. Was it all positive? We'll talk about it coming up next.
Jokic, Makar, Murray. Hear the postseason legends and their quest for another title on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
It was kind of stunning news yesterday when we found out that Michael Malone was going to be the next head coach for North Carolina. I think it was a shock to many people. Billy Donovan's name was certainly one that was popping up quite a bit, who's with the Chicago Bulls right now. But his name, I didn't see Malone's name at all in this search. Now, funny fact here, Mike, Michael Malone's daughter plays volleyball for the other UNC. So he was on campus a lot. And so people were like, hey, Michael Malone's here, but it's not, it's, you know, his daughter's a volleyball player here. It's, we're not really talking about him being the next head coaching candidate for North Carolina. But David Adelman, who used to work for Coach Michael Malone, had a few things to say after the win over Portland last night. Here's what Coach DA had to say.
David, can you just give your thoughts on Michael getting hired and how you've seen him being a good fit there?
Yeah, super excited when I read it. Very unexpected. Just I hadn't heard anything about that. Obviously, Billy's name had been, you know, mentioned everywhere. But I just, not just the basketball part, which is a historic job to take, but just the cool part of his daughter, you know, going to school there and just the all the elements to it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, basketball in America's changed, you know, with the NIL and college, and the hiring processes are different, you know, at a different level. You know, Kevin Young was an assistant coach, but taking over BYU, you know, right around the time the NIL hit, I think it made a lot of sense. I think the coaching pool is different. It's not just the recruiting and, you know, being in Vegas till midnight watching games. There's general managers, and I just think it's changed everything. And a guy like him, I mean, he's just, he'd be perfect for that job. So, yeah, it was, I mean, for all the guys that are here that had known him, we were all super excited, you know, after shoot around, we saw it, that it was a possibility. So, yeah, just I'm just happy for him and his family. You know, he belongs coaching, and that's what he should be doing.
All right, there's David Adelman talking about Michael Malone. I just I'm having a hard time picturing the fit, Mike. I'm just really having a hard time picturing the fit. And what you said was, it was fascinating. I know you were saying it in jest, but it was kind of, I mean, Michael Malone's time with Denver, he was kind of knocked for how little he wanted to play the young players on this team. That was kind of, I think that was one of the biggest knocks on him, and why this whole Calvin Booth, I have some Calvin Booth news too. Penn State bringing him in as an advisor type role. But it will be fascinating to see how his patience works in college. Because part of the reason a veteran coach doesn't play young guys, Michael, is they don't have the patience for it. They don't have the time for it. You know, they get frustrated with what they're seeing from rookies and what maybe their lack of development getting up to this level. And they get tired of it. Veteran coaches like that have a hard time doing it. They always fall back to, George Karl was kind of like this. He loved him some Andre Miller. They always go back to those veterans. Malone did the same thing with, even with Russell Westbrook. Played that guy to death. Even that 1 year he had him, he was going to go with him. So I am really curious to see, because these rookies are much younger than the rookies he was, than the guys he was dealing with. Not rookies, but he's going to be dealing with dudes a lot younger. And guys that don't have, you know, any of that development on their side. So I don't get the fit, man. I like Michael Malone. I was a really big fan of Michael Malone. I just don't see it. I guess it's kind of like the Bill Belichick thing. I mean, I was excited about that. But then after seeing what happened, I don't think he did himself any favors. Where's the fit? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong about Michael Malone.
You know, maybe he'll utilize the transfer portal more than most and be like, how many 22-year-olds can I get?
Maybe. Well, yeah, I mean, he's... If you're a North Carolina fan and you hear that you're getting Michael Malone, who won an NBA championship, what does that do for donors? I mean, they have a rich freaking history, Mike, so it's not like they need Michael Malone to feel good about their program. So what does that do for donors? It's different with football. Football's kind of been not, you know, ho-hum for the most part, right? For a while.
I mean, they could have hired me, and they still have a lot of donors. But
no,
I don't think this
think
does too much about
mass exodus. This,
it's not they're gonna get not gonna get as it's not gonna boost the donorship too much. They're always gonna have people paying them money.
If you go with a no name hire, then I don't think you're getting people excited about your program.
Yeah, people will still pay. They're not going to be as excited.
But no, what
this
I'm asking
is going to be kind of.
But I'm not asking that. I know people. I know there are donors of the school that will always support the school. But I'm asking, does Michael Malone increase your check? Are you writing a bigger check because Michael Malone is the coach?
No, I think it's like it would be kind of the same as if you hired a big time. If they had hired Nico Medved last year, I think it would kind of be the same thing.
I just don't see it. He's been in the NBA. Now, he was an assistant for a while in the 90s. You know, right after he almost was a cop. We were going over that yesterday. He almost was going to get into the field of law enforcement. But instead, he got a assistant head coaching gig. And The rest is kind of history. Got himself into the NBA in 2001. He was a coaching associate with the New York Knicks. And then from that point, he just kept kind of moving up. He was an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. He was the head coach for Sacramento, fired there, and then took over with the Nuggets. I just don't know. Now, Bill Belichick is considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, coaches of all time. That tends to move the needle. Malone, where would you put Michael Malone? He's not one of the greatest coaches of all time. He's not even like, you don't consider Mike, I don't think, I'm being real fair and real honest here. I don't think anyone really considers Michael Malone one of the greats.
Does he even go to the Hall of Fame?
No.
I mean, you have...
I don't know what the rules are in the Basketball Hall of Fame for coaches to get in, but based on what he did in Denver, which was very good, but they're doing... They might win a championship this year. They might not. I don't know, but they're still going to be in the playoffs. So they're picking up right where they left off because they have a guy like Joker on the team.
You had a coach in the NBA win back-to-back-to-back. He's the guy that owns the trademark to three-peat. That guy goes in the Hall of Fame. You had the former Lakers coach who was the Bulls coach. He has like 5, 6, or 7 rings. That guy goes in the Hall of Fame. Malone has 1, and you could maybe argue that
so
it was Jokic.
Why hire Michael Malone? Why not hire a guy that's an assistant on a really good team?
$6 million question.
I don't understand it. And again, this is not... Now, if we're talking Malone's the next head coach of whatever NBA team, we're not having an issue. I don't... And it's not like I really have an issue with this. I'm just perplexed. Any NBA job would have made sense. I would have said, yeah, he's a good NBA coach. I will be very interested to see how he coaches without a guy like Nikola Jokic on his team. But now you're going to college, and from what I saw of his coaching career with the Nuggets, did not strike me as, oh, yeah, that guy would be a great college basketball coach. I just don't see it.
I mean, you're looking, first of all, you're looking at it from a standpoint of someone who's a Nuggets fan, who's also an NBA fan, so you had him under the microscope. Look, him getting hired at North Carolina, to me, does not make a lot of sense. If he was hired at Green Bay, like, that would make more sense because he's a big name going to a tiny school. That would make more sense. A lot of people are going to be like,
even
then, got a big name here. That'll get us some people.
But, like, Belichick's different because he's won the most Super Bowls.
He's already in the Hall of Fame, even though he wasn't voted in the Hall of Fame.
No, that's a dumb thing. Very dumb thing. It's fascinating. I know Joker talked a little bit about it too, and you know he said he's excited for him. He does a good job of developing players, and I was like, well, maybe he does. I mean, again, what do we know from what we watch on our television screens over the years? We don't know what all goes into the development of these players, but fascinating for sure. 40 minutes after the hour, coming up. NBA standings, where do the Nuggets sit? What needs to happen for them to secure the third seed? And do you want that? We'll take a look at the potential playoff bracket coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
I want to shout out to Foundation Sports Nutrition, locally owned nutrition supplement business here in Greeley. And, you know, you've been to some of those places before where you're wanting to, you know, maybe you're just trying to take different supplements. You want to get in better shape. Maybe you're lifting weights. Maybe you're running. Maybe you're exercising. Maybe you're looking for vitamins. You go to certain places that are in the mall. And you see, oh, the big brand. You go in there and you got a big giant dude that's going to tell you exactly what's going to get you. They don't know necessarily what you need. They know what works for them. What the great folks at Foundation Sports Nutrition do They take you through their process. They're weighing you. They're going through your body mass index or whatever that is, and figuring out what your goals are, what kind of exercises you are doing. Maybe you're just walking, and that's great. They're going to go through and figure out what might be perfect for you. They've got product samplings, product guidance, and advice, and it's also right there by Double Diamond CrossFit too. So they have a wonderful community. And you don't have to be, if you're going in there, you don't have to be getting signed up for suddenly you're committed to, 8 hours in the gym every single week. That's not the case, and that's not what they're looking for. They want to meet you where you are as you're going through whatever fitness journey you're on, and that's Foundation Sports Nutrition. They're on off 10th Street and 59th Avenue across from Wells Fargo, so West Greeley. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Okay, so NBA standings. After the Nuggets win last night over the Trailblazers, they did leapfrog the Lakers. They are now they're the third seed behind San Antonio and OKC. OKC still has something to play for, which is very important for tonight's matchup between the Thunder and the Lakers. The Thunder are just 2.5 games ahead of the Spurs. Theoretically, Spurs could pass the Thunder up and get the number one seed if the Spurs were to win out and the Thunder were to lose. So each, this game tonight still has meaning. My guess is the Thunder will lock up the one seed. The Spurs will lock up the two seed. Then it becomes really between Denver, Los Angeles, and Houston. Denver's only a game and a half ahead of Houston. So technically, the Rockets could catch Denver. I think the Nuggets have the tiebreaker over Houston. They do not have the tiebreaker over the Lakers. So, here's what needs to happen. The Lakers have 4 games remaining. These are all very difficult games, too. Home against OKC, as one of our texters pointed out, OKC's a big-time favorite because the Lakers are without Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. If they lose that game, then it's Denver's. The third seed is Denver's. They control their own destiny. Easier said than done. The Lakers also play Golden State. They're at Golden State on Thursday. Now, the Warriors can do nothing with their standings. They are a play-in team and sitting at tenth seed. They can't move up. They can't move out. How much will they be going in that game? And my thoughts are they're just getting Steph Curry back, so there's two schools of thought, I suppose, that you could try to take it easy, or you've only got one shot. I mean, they're not in a series. They've got one shot. So do they try to just make sure they have Steph Curry gelling with everybody as much as possible? So there's potential that the Lakers could lose that game. And then they're home against Phoenix. Phoenix is 3 games out. By the time they get to that game, I don't know that they can pass up Minnesota. Now, they could. If Minnesota loses every game, and Phoenix wins every game, then potentially you could be looking at the Suns jumping into that 6th spot. But with their 3 games back, and I think they both have 4 games remaining, so you do the math there. And to finish the season, the Lakers have Utah. So best thing is, L.A. loses tonight, Denver beats Memphis, and we see how the rest of these teams are going to be playing this out. That one's going to be very fascinating to see. And the question is, do you want Denver to play to get that third seed? Right now, they'd be playing the Timberwolves in the first round. The Lakers would get the Rockets. But they would get the Spurs in the second round instead of the Thunder.
Didn't they get knocked out by the Timberwolves?
They sure did. And the Thunder.
I say play the Timberwolves. Revenge games.
I mean, that's great. I mean, and I appreciate the attitude. Like, you're like, screw it, I don't care. Give me the best.
That's how I feel. I don't care. You're going to have to face them anyway.
But I'm logical. Mike, you're a fanboy that's like, my team's going to beat every team, and doggone it, we're going to beat them. And yeah, I'm looking at it going, what gives you the best shot of survive? Not only winning the first round, but maybe winning it a little bit easier rather than going 7 games with Minnesota? I mean, if you could take on Houston, I could see that series ending in 5 or 6. I really do. With Minnesota, history tells us that those teams, they're going to wear each other out. Anybody that Minnesota goes up, they're going to wear them out. So who would be better for the Nuggets to face? Or which seed, third or fourth seed? If they finish with the third, they're probably playing the Timberwolves. If they move down to the fourth, they'll play the Rockets, but then they would have the Thunder in the second round. 11:52 the time, Mike. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one, top stories of the day. Also, the Rockies get it done. Are they better? Is this team truly better than what we saw last year? We'll talk about it. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
All year, you heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Mike, coming up in the second hour of the show, we got top stories of the day. The Rockies 4-6 on the season. Okay. Are we starting to believe? I don't know. A lot of people are not, because nobody really went to that game last night. Is it a Monday night? Is it a national championship? I don't know. Or the Rockies just historically bad. We'll talk about it coming up next. It's The Whole Show. We'll be right back.